Proverbs chapter number 2 this evening. Going to be reading the first four verses this evening. Proverbs chapter number 2, as we begin a new chapter of Proverbs, and we've entitled this messages as the preview of Proverbs. In Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 4. So let's read those verses, then we'll have a word of prayer and get started. Who would read, first of all, Proverbs 2, verses 1 and 2? Who would read that? All right, Miss Gail, who would read verses 3 and 4? Verses 3 and 4. All right, John, thank you. Father, we come before you this evening. Father, we thank you for this second chapter of the book of Proverbs as we begin to just delve into and dissect it today, Father. I pray, Lord, that as we look at this chapter, we'll see it as really the preview of the whole book of Proverbs. So, Father, I pray that you minister to our hearts, Father. Challenge us, Father, as only you can do. Father, may we perhaps begin to prepare our hearts for the upcoming revival, Father, that when revival comes and the evangelist shows up, Father, we'll already be revived. We'll be excited on the work that you've done in our life and the work that you're going to continue to do in this church. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory through the preaching and teaching of your word this evening, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, chapter 2 of Proverbs really sends the reader on a treasure hunt. When I was growing up, I loved to go on treasure hunts, amen. And go on treasure hunts, we would make little maps, and one would make a map, and the other two would follow it along. We just love treasure hunts. I like watching movies about treasure hunts. I think of maybe not the best movie in all the world, but Indiana Jones, that kind of movie, treasure hunts, and finding things like that, and working through puzzles and different things like that really, really just excites me. But here we find there's a treasure hunt going on in the book of Proverbs. But guess what? It's not a treasure hunt for gold or silver or rubies or diamonds or anything like that. It's a treasure hunt, and we're on a quest for the treasure of wisdom. It's a lesson that's originally been taught by a father to a son, and it's chock full of wisdom for those who desire to receive it. But that's the point. It's only chock full of wisdom for those who desire to receive this wisdom. This lesson really is designed with clever features that are built into the original Hebrew that makes it a little bit easier for them to memorize. This entire chapter, chapter number 22, get this now, if you're a fan like I am of long run-on sentences, Hebrew chapter number 2 in the original language is one long sentence, amen? Like a run-on sentence if you write the way I like to write. But understand this, there's 22 lines corresponding with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so the second chapter of Proverbs really is very complex. It's a complex syllogism of ifs and thens. A syllogism is a kind of a logical argument that applies deductively reasoning to arrive at a conclusion based on two or more propositions that are asserted or assumed. Again, using the words if and then. For example, Solomon tells us how that if his son, or by the way, all the other readers of the book of Proverbs, would listen to the wisdom of God's word, then they'd find the blessings of life coming from the heavenly Father. And this chapter really is kind of a preview for the book of Proverbs here in chapter number 2. So let's begin by dissecting here in verses 1 through 4. Notice, first of all, if you're taking notes, God's prerequisite for acquiring wisdom. God's prerequisite for acquiring wisdom. This chapter starts out by laying down a condition. Notice what it says, my son, if. So in other words, attaining wisdom is conditional. It's not automatic. Receiving the wisdom from God is not something that just automatically osmosis is into our brain. The Bible teaches us that it's conditional. I think many believers find never find wisdom because they don't obey the conditions for doing so. Wisdom requires a decision that has to be made. You have to formulate it in your mind and say, I'm going to decide to receive or acquire God's wisdom. And that decision requires that a commitment be made. How about this? A strong personal commitment to the process laid out in verses 1 through verse number 4. And this bears repeating once again that wisdom is not a process, it's a process, not a one-time procedure. Well, as we continue on, notice this, that several scriptures reveal these prerequisites to help us in our pursuit of wisdom. Let's notice first of all in verse number 1. Notice that if we're gonna receive God's wisdom, the first prerequisite is number one, to receive God's word. Notice what verse 1 says. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Of course, those words and commandments here are speaking of none other than the Word of God. It's what we are to do with what the Bible is, what's so important to us. What are we to do with it? Notice, we are to receive God's Word, and then we are to hide God's Word in our heart. To receive it means to accept the Bible. To hide it speaks of treasuring the Bible. That's where we get this idea of we're on a treasure hunt for God's wisdom, and we're to store it up, and we're to guard it as being very precious, as a treasure that's hidden in the earth. So God's intention for you and I is that we make His wisdom our very own wisdom. The Scriptures encourage people, according to James chapter 1 and verse 21, to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. I think of the Berean believers who were considered noble because in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible says this, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily. Boy, you think about that. There's a conviction there. Do you search the Scriptures daily, as the Bereans did? And then I'm reminded of Paul commending the church at Thessalonica because the Bible says they received the Word of God. So after accepting Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, the very next step in the process of maturing in Jesus Christ is to start seeking this wisdom of God. Wisdom is found through recognizing what a priceless treasure God's Word is. Do you see the Bible, God's Word, as a priceless treasure that's just waiting there for you to dig it out and gold mine out those great nuggets of God's truth? It comes to us by studying. It comes to us by storing this treasure up in our heart so that it will be there when you need it. Remember again, the context of this setting is the Father is charging His children to memorize God's Word. Turn in your Bible to Job 23 and verse 12. Job 23 and verse 12. And who would read that for the pastor tonight? Job 23 and verse number 12. All right, Dan, thank you. Boy, think about that. I have esteemed the words of His mouth, or God's words, more than my necessary food. I wonder how many could raise our hand, the flag of our heart, and say, that's me. I esteem the Word of God more than my necessary food that I eat every day. Probably none of us here today could say they fit that category, but that's what Job said. And then I'm reminded of Proverbs 27 and verse number 1, where the Bible says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. What I thought about this. What are some of the reasons that we are to hide or to treasure God's words in our heart? Why are we to do that? I think there is a couple of reasons. I think we ought to do that because of what God has done for us. We ought to hide his word in our heart that we might not sin against God. So as we would think about that, I want you to look at this thought. Turn in your Bibles to John 14:26. John 14:26. So why are we to hide or treasure up God's word within our heart? Well, John 14:26 gives us a good reason why. Who would read that for the pastor? All right, Ed, thank you. All right, so we look at this passage, John 14:26. Notice the last part of verse 26, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I think the first reason that we ought to hide God's word in our heart or treasure up his word in our heart, it's because of the availability of the Holy Spirit to remind us of these great truths when we need it. I can remember hearing testimonies by several people on many different occasions how someone asked them a question and they really didn't know the answer. But next thing they knew, they were just spouting off scripture. They were turning in their Bible to here, turning in their Bible to there. Why is that? Well, because they have hid or treasured up God's word in their heart. And so that's a good reason why we ought to do that. I think of John Calvin. He comments on really the necessity of hiding the word of God in our hearts by drawing this analogy. He said this, among scholars, those whose knowledge is confined to books, if they have not the book always before them, readily discover their ignorance. In like manner, if we do not absorb the doctrine of God and are well acquainted with it, Satan will easily surprise and entangle us in his meshes. Our true safeguard, then, lies not in the splendor of knowledge of his law or in the careless pursuit of it, but get this, but in hiding it deeply in our heart. So really, it's not enough really just to have a copy of the Bible. We ought to have a copy of the Bible, don't misunderstand me, that we can access at any time. But it's more important that we take that Bible down off a shelf, off our recliner, read it, study it, meditate upon it, all the while asking the Holy Spirit to teach us his way. Let's Psalm 119, verse number 12. The Bible says this, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. When's the last time you, in your morning devotion, prayed? Say, God, teach me thy statutes. I want to be able to recall under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, scriptures and passages as I witness to people as well. Well, I think we'll stop right here, and we'll pick up with the second reason that we're be reminded of this great truth, and that not only is so the Holy Spirit can remind us of scriptures, but number two, we'll see next week, to keep us from sinning. And I think this is the major one that we focus on. We focus on this passage of scripture in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And we use that as the focal point of why we need to hide God's word in our heart or treasure his word in our heart. But understand this, the one we just looked at and one we'll look at next week as well are just and vitally as important. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this brief look at Psalm 2. Father, we thank you for that we can look at this passage of Scripture and come to understand, Lord, that it is really just a preview of the rest of the book of Proverbs. So, Father, as we begin to delve into this, Father, and we see that we're commanded, Father, to hide and receive your word or treasure up your word in our heart, Father, help us meditate upon this one thought, particularly this week, Father, of the reasons why we are going to hide that word in our heart. We're going to hide it in our heart so that the Holy Spirit of God can remind us of the word when we have need for it in our life. And Father, just not for witnessing, but Father, perhaps in times of temptation, perhaps in time of sadness and gloominess in our life, Father, we can turn to your word and recall the scriptures, Father, that will be a help and a blessing to us. So, Father, watch over us now this week until we meet again next week, Father. And I pray that your people this week, Father, would hide the word in your heart. And Father, beside hiding it, they would treasure it, Father, as gold or silver or precious stones and diamonds. So, Father, watch over us as we go home tonight. Keep us safe, Father. Bring us back again on Saturday, Father, for a good work day as we spruce up the house of the Lord for Easter Sunday and the upcoming revival. Bless your family, Father, who are not sick. Father, some are recovering some surgery. Some have are at work today, Father. I pray you'll be a help to them, Father. Let them know we miss them. And I pray, Lord, that they will treasure the word in their heart as well. For we pray and ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen.